Hi there. Thanks for being here. And once again, I was vividly reminded of Chicago traffic and sweating to see if I could get here. But praise the Lord, we did, and we rejoice in that. Of course, we have been a little bit on the road lately. 2 weeks ago, we were in Florida, and now I'm here, so I should be back in Florida. But anyway, we're thankful for what the Lord is doing. Our plan is to leave, actually, the Chicagoland area this coming Saturday morning. We actually start a couple meetings in Michigan. Then we go to Minnesota. And then after that, we go to Pennsylvania. And we'll be there for Christmas and New Year's, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. And then we'll wait to see at the end of the January. That's when most churches do their budgets and everything. So we'll have to see where we're at. But we hope to be maybe back in the field by February or March or so. So we'll see what the Lord does. And that's kind of where we're at right now. And obviously at the same time, we're, be praying for Pastor. I know it's a very difficult thing to go through right now. He needs our prayers, not only now, but later on, when it kind of hits that the emptiness kind of hits you. And so just be praying for him, for his family, and just encourage him with prayers and phone calls and notes and stuff like that. I know it means a lot to him and to the family, so I would definitely encourage you to do that. So why don't we look into the Word of God this evening? We're going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I think it's got a lot of things to teach us. And I'm going to ask Pastor Micah, since I had to sing hard to cover for his bad singing, I'm going to ask him to read for us Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, please. Through 33, please.
Okay. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, Is it a spirit? And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. That's it.
Great. Thank you. Well, we see here Jesus, obviously, always with the disciples, and obviously, at the same time, many times the crowd was upon them and stuff like that. But we see Jesus always setting time apart to pray, and I think that's an important lesson for us, especially as we consider the busyness of each day. We need to set apart time to pray to the Lord, and I know that. When you're married and you have a couple kids and everything like that, it becomes even more difficult. But that's why it becomes even more important to set apart a time to be with the Lord. So the question would be, when is the last time that we actually communicated with the Lord and that we talked to Him in prayer? Obviously, as we know, the Lord is only a prayer of distance away. But many times we have the tool a prayer, but we don't use that as we should. And so that's something that we need to consider. You know, and he was interceding for his disciples. They were obviously in kind of a peril, but they, you know, they were experts in fishing. So it wasn't like the first storm that they had seen. You know, and obviously they weren't able to resolve this problem on their own. And so they asked help to the only person, the only one that could give them that help. And you don't need to turn there. I'll simply read it for you. But Psalm 46, verse 1 through 3. Psalm 46, 1 through 3 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And so, you know, God is our refuge and our strength. I don't know what you're going through today, but it doesn't matter what you're going through today. God is your refuge, and he is your strength. And there's nothing that you and I can be going through today that he is going to be surprised by it, or that he's going to be outpowered by it. And there's nothing that he cannot do for you or for me. For God, all things are possible. And so, and the Bible, you know, encourages us in that way. And it also tells us that, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this particular event occurs approximately between 3 and 6 in the morning, you know, and it was really to kind of form their character. He kind of let them suffer a little bit, I think, to reveal what their character was. And that is a question for us today. How do we react when we are tried or when we are tested by God, when things don't go exactly as we thought they should, and we get kind of out of our comfort zone? How do we respond when that happens? This was a period of time where the Jews were actually trying to forcefully make Jesus their king. And so perhaps the Lord allowed them to go by themselves, because if he would have gone with them, they probably would have tried to make him king at that time. Who knows? And so, you know, and he was trying to probably get a hold of their pride, keep them in check so they don't become proud, because Jesus obviously wanted to be king, but not here on this earth. And so the Jews also believed that a spirit of a person that had died could come back and visit them after death, and maybe that's why some of them might have been scared. Who knows? Hopefully not. Obviously, if you believe in the Lord, you shouldn't be afraid of these things, but obviously some cultures believe in these things. And so, you know, Jesus was the one that was going to calm the circumstances. And he did that by saying two words, I am. And so we need to be comforted by the fact that Jesus is still the I am today. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. And, you know, and so he is still the one and true God that we can trust, because there's nothing that is impossible for him. And so it also talks about the presence of him being majestic and divine, not limited through the power of the sea. And so that is great that God can control. You know, and even in another, you know, passage there, it says, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Well, obviously it is God. And so he is in sovereign control of all these things, and we need to rejoice of the fact that we serve a great God who is not limited by anything. And so Jesus was demonstrating that he is a sovereign God, in control of even his own creation. You don't need to turn there, but obviously Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And so, you know, he is in control of all creation. He created us just the way he wanted us to be. You know, and some of us, obviously, we all have limitations and we all have defects or whatever you want to call them. But you know what? You are created just the way God wanted you to be. And so be rest assured in those promises that God created you. And the Bible tells us, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth very well. And you know, you might have limitations breathing or seeing or hearing or whatever it is for you. But you know what? The Bible also tells us that he doesn't give us anything more that we can't handle. And so we need to rest on God and rest on his promises. And according to the sovereignty of God, this should give us a lot of things. If we know that God is sovereign, that should give us security, because we're trusting in a God who never changes, who always keeps his promises. It also should give us tranquility. We should relax. You know, we should not be worried. The Bible tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. But yet, our tendency, instead of praying first, we tend to fret first. We tend to get anxious first. We tend to do everything in our power to resolve everything in our own strength. And when that fails, then we remember that we have an almighty God who can do the things that we need to do. Because we have a sovereign God, we have a God who has authority over the winds, over the sea, over whatever troubles you. He's the one that gives us peace, because he is peace. But he doesn't give it as the world gives it. He gives it as he needs to give it to us in different measures. And he's the one that gives us consistency. He gives us direction and purpose in our life. He gives us an identity, because now we are part, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're part of the family of God. And you're a new creature. And now we have the privilege to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he, because we are his children, he bestows upon us many blessings that we do not deserve. But yet, because we're his children, he gives it to us anyway. And so he also, because he's sovereign, he gives us courage to live and to serve him. You know, it's not easy sometimes to serve God. It should be, but sometimes it's not. But you know what? Be of good courage, the Bible says. And you know, and so we need to be courageous. We need to stand up for what is right, even if we have to pay a price for it. And you know what? Because God is sovereign, he also gives us a bright future. We all know how it all ends. We all know that once we're his children, he promised to go and prepare a place for us, that where he is, we might be also. And so we need to rest in these things. It was, it was one of those, showers and tempests like they had never seen before. It was something that was, that only he could save them from that. Well, Jesus was walking on the sea, and Jesus was the one going to the rescue. He was their lifeline that they needed at the moment. And the law of gravity was conquered by the power and strength of God. And Peter asked for another sign. You know, if that's really you, allow me to go to you. Allow me to walk on the water. You know what? And so many times, don't we do the same thing? You know, if this is really you, if this is really your will, please show me again what you want me to do. You know, and so Christ did. He allowed him to walk on the water. What a privilege. I mean, really. You know what? But it wasn't enough, because as soon as he started walking on water, then he humanly started looking around and getting worried about what was surrounding him, the massive winds and the waves and the tempest, and how am I going to do all this? And he started to sink. Well, you know what? The same thing happens to us when we take our eyes off of the Lord. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you, will fall into the proper place if we look to the one and only God who can save us. And you know what? We often criticize Peter for his lack of focus, for his lack of decision, and for his lack of faith, his weak faith. But you know what? It's like anything else. It's so easy to criticize others. But you know what? Peter's the only one that actually walked on water. He's the only one that said, can I go to you? Can I walk on water? Everybody else, they were scared out of their mind. They don't want anything to do with it. You know what? And they were wondering, is that you, Lord? Yeah, it's me. Can I please help us? And like Peter said, save me. Well, and how many times do we need to reach out, spiritually speaking, our hand and say, Lord, I'm making a mess out of my life. Please save me. I promise that I will walk with you like I need to, but I need your help right now. Please save me. How do we respond when there comes a crisis in our life? Well, when crisis comes in our life, we know exactly, we revealed who we are, you know. There's a lot of people, they don't respond well in crisis. You know, I have a lady in the church that we used to be at. Anytime that I would fall or anything that would happen to me, the last person that I wanted next to me or even close to me when that happened was this person. Because she would just start panicking. The pastor fell. Please come help me. And I'm like, shh, you know. Because I would find a way to get up. But you know what? She would just be in panic mode. And that was it, you know. And so many of us, when the moment of crisis, some people are very calm. And some people are just very loud and obnoxious. And so we just need to realize that we don't need to worry. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We need to realize that we need to deposit our faith, our confidence, our trust in the only thing, the only person that never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And neither should we. If we're a child of God and we're resting on the promises of God, he hasn't changed. His promises have never changed. So why do we worry? Why do we fret? And so we need to realize those things. You know, some of us, when we are tested, the first thing that we do, not only do we worry, but we complain. You know, I can't stand being around people that complain all the time. It just is totally unproductive. You're not going to change absolutely anything about it. You know what? Some people rebel against God. The first thing we do is blame God. Oh, Lord, it's your fault. You know, you allowed this to happen in my life. Yeah, and probably he did. But you know what? He has a perfect reason for that. And he's trying to form your character, my character. And he thought that was the best thing for us to go through these circumstances. Some people harden their hearts, you know, against God. We get bitter against God. And we shouldn't. God is the best thing that ever happened to each and every one of us. And so we shouldn't get bitter. We should get better, because we are better people because of God and what he has done in our lives. And so we should be ready to learn what God wants us to learn. And sometimes the only way that we're going to learn is through trial, through testing, through hard times. You know, because when everything is going great, you know, we often miss you know, the great things that God is trying to do in our life, because we actually think that we deserve it all good. And so we miss what God is trying to do in our life. Christ should be our moral, social, and spiritual compass. He is never going to fail us. We should put our faith and our watch and the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one that can help us. You know what? And you don't need to turn there, but Mark chapter 6, verse 51. Mark chapter 6 and verse 51. It says, "And he went up and unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the leaves, for their heart was hardened." You know what? The disciples had already seen miracles. But you know what? They weren't focused on what Christ was trying to teach them. And we could see that towards the end, Jesus was trying to tell them, look, I am not going to be here always. I need to go away. I need to die on the cross to save your sin. What were they focused on? Who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? So many times we do the same thing. We have the wrong focus in our life. And instead of being amazed for everything that God has done and everything that He's doing in our life, and instead of thinking when we go through trials, the last time I was going through a difficulty, the Lord did this, this, and this. Instead of thinking that way, we go, what am I going to do? Well, we need to look back to what has God done for you? What has He done for me in the past? Because He wants to do and continue to do great things in us. So let's let Him do that. And so He has a plan for us. We need to keep our focus. We need to keep our communion with God. And how do we do that? By making sure there's not sin in our life that is blocking what God wants to do, how God wants to bless us. Because if there's anything between us and the Savior, He is not going to hear us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then lastly, we're told that Jesus was worshipped on the ship, you know. And we should worship Jesus because of everything that He has done for us, but mainly because He has forgiven our sins, past, present, and future. Not because we deserve it, but because of His grace and His mercy on us. And you know what? But when the current of the world, we get dragged on by this world, we should get our focus back on Jesus Christ and let Him do what He needs to do. And then it says, you know, O thou of little faith, wherefore doubtest thou? You know, and that could be the question for us. Why do we doubt God? Why do we doubt Him when we know He has never failed us? We can't say the same thing about Him. We have failed Him many, many times. But yet He has never failed us. The sin in our life, it sinks us. It shows, you know, that we are not believing in Him like we should. It creates doubts about who God is and what He has promised to do in us. Circumstances that are adverse create doubts. Different, you know, things that happen in our life that don't go the way we expected them to go. We get uneasy about those things. We get depressed. We are unhappy with the way things are going. And so many times we become bitter at God because we're not willing to leave our sin and let God be in control of all these things. Well, all these things help and make us be weak in our faith and in our trust in God. But you know what? Why do we think that maybe Jesus allowed Peter to walk in the water? Well, you know, he wanted to show his power and his sovereignty. He wanted Peter to have faith in God and lay aside his own doubts about who God was and why he was there. He wanted Peter to realize that he's weak and he needed to have a total dependence on the Lord. And we need to do the same thing. We need God for everything. The Bible says, without me, you can do what? Nothing. And so we need to understand that. We need to understand that as Christians, we are sustained by the power and the grace of God. We don't need to wait until we're sinking in sin and doubt to ask help for God. You know, we need to go to Him always. He's always available for us. And so we don't need to wait till the last minute. And the Bible also tells us that he who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all abundantly and without reproach. And then in conclusion, you know what? We really need to look at things a little bit different. We need to realize that may we not be coward Christians, comfortable, who are comfortable conforming ourselves with the mediocrity in our life, who are controlled by circumstances, who lack faith and personal convictions, who have callous hearts towards sin. How many times do we know we're sinning, but we have become so calloused that we get used to sinning, and we don't even realize the effect that it's having in our life? But maybe we transformed by the power of God and by His Holy Spirit to help us live separated lives, to walk in the will of God that is good, acceptable, and perfect for us. And so that's what God wants for us. And so I don't know what storm is going to come your way this week, but I do know the God who controls all the storms that are going to come your way. And if we put our trust and if we put our faith instead of our doubt in Him, we will be okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Help us to realize that we have the living Word of God in Jesus Christ. He is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Help us to walk in that light this week. Help us to rely on that power that the Holy Spirit gives to us so that we can live a victorious life and that we can do the good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives each day. Thank You for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.